Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
50 years ago, four young men, Paul McCartney, John Lennon, George Harrison, and Pete Best, stepped into a studio for the first time to lay down a few songs. They called themselves the Beat Brothers, and they were more or less a backup band for this singer, Tony Sheridan. Now, Tony Sheridan's mostly remembered as that guy who hired the Beatles. They rocketed to pop celebrity in the UK, and they were one Ed Sullivan performance away from legend in America. The suggestion to appear on that really big show, by the way, came from George Harrison's older sister, Louise, and she joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for doing the Ed Sullivan show thing. That changed my life. Thanks so much.
You know, I want to kind of go back to those very early days when you and George were both teenagers. And from what I've read, he was really smart. He was doing really well in school when he dropped out. And it was because he'd kind of...
Which things have you been reading?
I read that he did really great on his 11th level exams and he was going to go to the city's best high school. Is that not true?
That was me.
Oh.
Nice.
Well, what was that like when he said, I'm going to do the music thing and I'm dropping out of school? What did your parents say and what did you think?
Well, let's backtrack a bit because whatever you've been reading is very, very... Let's put it like all the rest of the stuff that's out there about the Beatles. It's probably about 60% fabricated. But I'm 11 years older than George, so I was not a teenager at the same time as he was. However, we both went to school in Liverpool, and my parents were the kind of people who encouraged us to do whatever we felt was the best thing that we could do. They taught us, you know, what was right and what was wrong and, you know, ethics, integrity and all of those things and to be honest, which has been not much of a blessing in our lives because we've expected everybody else to be honest and that also hasn't always happened. But anyway, once he got into the idea of music and he started to be, you know, work very, very hard at it. And Mum said he would sit up till, you know, she would be up with him, helping him to learn the fingering. And my dad had played guitar, so he helped him a bit. And when she saw the dedication that he had, there was no way they would ever stand in his way to whatever, you know, for any of us, of whatever we really, really wanted to do. They totally encouraged us. And in fact, when the whole Beatle thing started to happen on a big scale and they were being inundated with thousands of fan letters every day, Mum and Dad would sit across the table in the kitchen from each other in the evening. Dad would address envelopes and Mum would write a little note and they would answer hundreds of thousands of fan letters.
Yeah. So this what you're talking about when you mentioned earlier that so much of what's written about the Beatles and about your brother is not true. You know, he was the only one to write a biography. Mm-hmm. Was that part of the reason that he wanted to see?
Yes, partly, yeah, because, and that's also the reason why I finally have agreed to go ahead and do a book. People have been saying to me for the last 45 years, isn't it about time you wrote a book because you know what really happened? And so I finally said, yes, it is about time. And that's what the book's going to be called. It's about time.
It's about time. Yeah. We're talking with Louise Harrison, the older sister of Beatle George Harrison. And, you know, it's sort of sad to think that he's not here. It's so sad to think. You know, I've got so many questions for you. He's one of the most influential guitarists of all time, partly because of the fame of the Beatles and his very distinctive style. Was he prepared for the level of success that the Beatles attained? Everybody wants to get a gig, but the gig he got, oh my God.
It was overwhelming eventually. To begin with, in those early days, as he said many years later when he was watching the four of them descend the steps from the Pan Am plane into New York on that first Ed Sullivan trip, he was watching the clip of this probably 20 years later, and he said to me, you know, if we'd had any idea how important this was all going to be, we probably would have been scared stiff, he said. But the way we were, he said, we were just a bunch of cheeky chaps, and, you know, we didn't really care. We were having fun, and he said that was probably what carried it.
And this is that one of those cheeky chaps here playing what Paul McCartney described as raunchy guitar. So let's go to that Ed Sullivan show, because you said that you were the one that pushed them to take that gig. You thought Ed Sullivan was the perfect match for the Beatles, and you were right. Why did you think that?
Well, it was just that I had moved into this country in 1963, and I was starting to research the American music market, which is far, far different from the way it works in England. In England, if you get your music played on the BBC, you're in, you know, nationwide. But in this country, back in those days, there were a mere 6,000 radio stations, but still there were 6,000 individual places that you had to try to infiltrate in order to get something happening. And unless you had a big backing or your major recording company or somebody with a lot of clout, you weren't going to get on the radio. You know, and back in those days, there was a lot of what they called payola.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and the DJs weren't playing their tunes.
No, the things that were being played were the things that were being pushed by people that had an agenda. So all of this information I was gathering and sending it across, I was writing to Brian Epstein and George Martin and Dick James during that time. And, of course, I was watching the Ed Sullivan show. I just moved into this country. I started watching it. And I said, you know, the best vehicle for anybody new talent would be the Ed Sullivan show. So when I was writing, I used to write just about every week. I got the Cashbox Billboard and Variety magazines to learn as much as I could about the business. And so I would write long 14-page letters, handwritten, every week to Brian. And I started putting, after I told him about the Ed Sullivan show, each letter I put on the bottom, P.S., don't forget Ed Sullivan.
Oh, man, so, who needs agents? All we need is an older sister, you know? Man, that's beautiful.
But the thing was that towards the end of the year, Brian was getting to the stage, you know, they were really, really, really big in Britain, and, you know, they couldn't even contain the crowds in the street. People would be camping out for a couple of days to get tickets to their shows. And so Brian, of course, was getting to be very sort of, wow, haven't I done a great job? And so fortunately, when Ed Sullivan actually saw the Beatles deplaning, I think in London Airport, and when he saw the big hullabaloo going on, he wanted to know what was going on. And so he tried to find out who was running these guys, and he got in touch with Brian. But fortunately, Brian had heard his name often enough from me that when Ed called him, he took the call, because he was getting to the stage when
he was
getting so beleaguered by people wanting the Beatles that he wasn't accepting just every phone call, you see. So there was that kind of little twist to it.
Can you take us from those very early recordings that are on this new set of CDs to George's solo career, which was a very different sound,
very different.
and a full of conscience, kind of changed the world sound. You saw that develop.
Yes. Well, one of the things that I've remarked about these new recordings, which is, you know, primarily what we wanted to talk about, is that the great thing about them is that by listening to them, you can understand just how raw, young, enthusiastic, and vigorous they were.
Eager.
Very, very eager, very determined. But also how unschooled they were as far as real knowledge of music. And it's wonderful, I think, for every collector or everybody who's been a Beatle fan for the last 40 years or so, or even if you're a new Beatle fan, to have a copy of these things, because it gives you an idea of just how fantastically they grew. And as you say, when George got into his solo career, he was just so far, you know,
whole new ball game.
The whole planet different from that.
Well, Louise Harrison was there for the whole story, older sister of the youngest Beatle, George Harrison, and the new double CD is called The Beatles with Tony Sheridan, First Recordings, 50th Anniversary Edition. Thank you so much.
Keep selling records, Louise. I'm John Hockenberry.
I'm Celeste Headlee. This is The Takeaway.